Halifax, the very popular, the very competitive Top Text Tuesday today. I'll take your best text today, and we'll see who wins this thing. I've got a couple of hooligans, Colfax, that could perhaps walk away with the Denver Nuggets swag, the bag we have, the gym bag we have, the Nikola Jokic hoodie, the memorabilia, the koozies, the bumper stickers. I mean, it's a Denver Nuggets smorgasbord back here, folks. It's going to be great. So here's the tally card. Here's the stat sheet for you. Pillow Fight Dan has two. He could win today. Dixon has two. The arch nemesis of the show could win today. Sir Charles has two. He could win today. And I think that's it. Is that three? We just have three that could possibly win. McLean has one. Inquiring Mind has one. Noob grabbed one last week. B-Rad's in the mix. Ken Bone is in the mix. So there you go. You have an opportunity here. Let's see. Do we keep this thing going for another week, or Sir Charles Dixon, Pillow Fight Dan, will they be the ones to win this thing? So go ahead and text the program. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. We're going to get this thing off to a great start today. Talking, Broncos, Nuggets, our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available. It is a Nuggets-related question today. Did the Nuggets get better or worse since the draft and the start of free agency? Go vote right now at thewholeshow.com. For more, you can text us or post on our social media feeds, and I'll read some of your comments from there. Aaron says worse. Guy says on paper it seems they got worse. It depends on the growth of MPJ and what the others do. I think Conley underestimated the situation with Grant. I think that he assumed that everyone was on the same page and that Denver became such a destination that he wouldn't lose Grant when Grant wanted other things. Perhaps it's a lesson learned. Yeah. Mm. Good text. Great text. Sean says, worse if the goal is a championship this season. Good pieces added in the draft for sure, but we failed to make championship contending moves with that, which was a shame. Somewhere in between, says Zane, a lot is riding on MPJ's development. And then Dave goes crazy here. Bring Harden to Denver. Winning costs money. Harden would not. Can check my math on this, Colfax. How many championships does James Harden have?
I think it's zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
That's not a superstar that you want to build around. Not right now, anyway. I mean, the Nuggets don't need another superstar. They needed another compliment. And is that Michael Porter Jr.? That is the question, right? I mean, when you look at the Denver Nuggets roster now and the moves they made, you are left wondering who's playing defense on those big time forwards. Those stretch fours, whatever. I mean, who's playing defense? You do have to ask. So the way I figure it, Colfax, the starting lineup for Denver, this is just where I'm going with it. Jamal Murray at one, Gary Harris at two, Michael Porter Jr. at three, Paul Millsap is back, and I think we all feel pretty relieved by that. Are we convinced that Paul Millsap was that just that much worse than Jeremy Grant? Now I'm just trying to see this out here. One-on-one defensively, it seems like Millsap's still better. So Millsap, four. Nikola Jokic, five. If the Nuggets would have signed both, and there was indication that they wanted to keep both, they were done with Plumlee, would Millsap have started the first part of the season? So that's what I have as the starting lineup. The rest gets a little murky. The depth, perhaps, gets a little murky. And yes, that four, that power forward position is a little suspect because Millsap's not getting any younger. He didn't play, he wasn't lights out by any means last season. But you have a lot of question marks surrounding this team. Did they get any better? Did they get worse? I'll answer the question. They certainly didn't get any better. So, yeah, they're a little bit worse because they lost a key piece. But, again, this is why it's such a crazy shot here. So much relies on Michael Porter Jr. Now, you're done with Torrey Craig. You're moving on from Torrey Craig, and he's not going to play defense. Porter, you got to play D, man. I mean, if you're not playing defense on whenever COVID-19 code red goes away, when you're able to go out, MPJ needs to play defense on everybody he sees, Colfax. That means you. If you're out in the street, I want him playing defense on you. I want him trying to stop you from getting to your next destination. I mean, that is what I want Michael Porter Jr. playing defense in the grocery stores. Posting up. Strengthen himself by just anything he does, man. That guy's got to be playing because so much rides on that. So when you look at the key additions for Denver, all right, Zeke Nagy, I like, but I just don't know if he's going to. It doesn't sound like from Tim Conley, from what we had last week, we didn't end up playing it. It sounded like with what Conley said, was that neither one, Zeke Nagy or R.J. Hampton, who they traded and ended up getting that draft pick, are going to be impact players as soon as this season. No, you have that? Okay. This is Tim Conley talking about whether or not Zeke and R.J. Hampton would be impact players in year one. Let's hit that.
I think when you're a team that had the success we had, I think it's dangerous to expect too much from first-year players. We saw some opportunities to add talent last night, and we went for it, but we view those guys as certainly long-term plays. So I don't think it'll have a huge bearing on what we do in free agency.
No, that's true. So should the Nuggets have – now, when we had Chris Dempsey on, we're still efforting to get him on, and it's nuts right now in Dempsey world because of everything going on with the Nuggets. When we talked to Dempsey before the draft, we said, hey, this draft is going to tell us a lot about what the Nuggets are going to do. Well, they drafted a power forward. But it's still, you know, at pick 22, that is a crapshoot as far as whether or not they're going to produce this season or not. Odds are no. Odds are R.J. Hampton, no. So you have to take those things into consideration. Unless the Nuggets were willing to get aggressive and move up in the draft, they weren't going to find the guy that was going to make an immediate impact this year. Dixon, without really knowing what you'll get from the rookies and the other new guys, you have to say they got worse. Grant had a huge impact, and like it or not, Plumlee played a lot of minutes. Let's be honest, another year of Millsap starting is not a good thing. The drop from Grant to Millsap is huge. Worse. Offensively, yes. Defensively, no, as far as the drop goes. McClain, does it even matter if we got better or worse? The Lakers got better. Not good. Hopefully MPJ learned a thing or two about defense from Grant. Ugh, you look at what the Lakers did and then Mark Gasol yesterday. Does LeBron have to copy everything that Kobe did? Because now he brought a Gasol over to try to finish out it, round out his career. So Anthony Davis, Montrezl Harrell, Caldwell Pope, LeBron James, Dennis Schroeder now at the one instead of Rondo. And but that Gasol, does he start? Probably starts, right? So now he starts and Harrell's coming off the bench. Yeah, the Lakers got better. The Lakers got a lot better. And Golden State, even with Klay Thompson, did they get better? Well, they liked their draft pick, you know, with Kelly Oubre Jr. With the free agency signings. I meant to say James Wiseman, second pick overall. But then Kelly Oubre Jr., bringing him over in the free agent side. I mean, they got better, too, even with Klay Thompson being out. They're going to improve from what they were last year. They should be a playoff team, even without Klay. Nuggets signed Facundo. It sounds like I'm saying something bad, huh? Campazzo from Real Madrid. He's 29. I'm excited to see him. I'm not going to say that got them, that made them instantly better. Jamichael Green. I mean, some okay names there, but you lost Plumlee, and yeah, we can argue about Plumlee's production. He got a lot of meaningful minutes. Dixon, Brady, the thought already was that MPJ was going to start one way or the other. So that's not really the issue. The issue is losing Grant in his production. No, it is the issue. It is some of the issue because Michael Porter Jr. is expected to start because he's an offensive threat. Even if Michael Porter Jr. didn't get any better at defense from right now to this day, the 24th day of November to Christmas time, they're still going to start him. He's going to start. But if he can play defense, you're not going to feel it as badly going, once you're kind of going down the stretch and you're reaching into your depth a little bit. Porter got off the court because he couldn't play defense. Dixon, Grant was freaking guarding LeBron and doing pretty well. That's not like that. Like Grant didn't play defense. Millsap sure as heck ain't guarding LeBron. I mean, Grant played defense. Yeah, he had his moments where he played defense, but you know, it's just like saying who's going to guard Torrey Craig's defense is going to guard. Who's going to replace Torrey Craig? Craig got blitzed a few times, man. I mean, he got absolutely torched in some of those games, in some of those playoffs games. No, I'm not saying Jeremy Grant was a loss, but you're acting like we're going from Jeremy Grant to a fourth-string power forward. Paul Millsap still can play defense. No, you're not guarding. Who can guard LeBron James? I mean, this whole idea that we were shutting down LeBron with Jeremy Grant and Torrey Craig before, now what are we going to do? That was not the case. At least I was watching a different game. Grant did play well. He had his moments. No doubt about it. But it wasn't as if LeBron and Anthony Davis weren't doing whatever the hell they wanted. At last I checked, Dixon, LeBron had 38 points in that final game to put the Nuggets to rest, and Anthony Davis had 27. So, I mean, okay, Jeremy Grant had 20 points in that game. Paul Millsap had 13. They both started, and I liked that comp. Listen, I'm not trying to say it's not a huge loss. They did get worse. But this whole idea that Paul Millsap is just this guy off the street that the Nuggets are going to need, you know, a rent-a-cop, a rent-a-forward, so to speak, is ridiculous. He's still got something in the tank. Would I have chose Jeremy Grant over Millsap? Absolutely. But this isn't the Nuggets' issue. What do you suggest the Nuggets should have done? Because they thought he was coming back. They offered him, from my knowledge, they offered him what Detroit offered him. He didn't want to be a four guy. He didn't want to be part of the crew. He wanted to be a bigger addition. He wanted to be a big-time star. He wants to start working his way to that, and he doesn't think he can achieve that with Denver. That's from my understanding of the whole situation. I mean, again, you want to talk about guarding LeBron James. I mean, he had 26 in game four. Anthony Davis had 34. So, I mean, they're going to get theirs no matter who's guarding them, really. And unless you're going out and you actually just find someone specifically that is a defensive juggernaut, one-on-one defensive juggernaut, and Grant is good. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying he's not. But don't act like, you know, you go from Jeremy Grant to a fourth-string power forward suddenly. Yeah, you're hurting. It doesn't look great right now. But to say that Michael Porter Jr. was going to start anyway, so that doesn't matter. No, his development is key. How many times did the Nuggets look bad defensively because Porter was just out of rotation? So, no, he has to be better at defense all the way through. But Dixon's saying they should have offered more for more than Detroit. They gave him $20 million. The market was showing that he was 16. You give him 20. I mean, how much money do you think they have? They still have to figure out a few other things here. I mean, if they would have given him $20 million, $21 million, $22 million to stay, boy, you're reaching. You're already paying Jamal Murray $32 million, Joker $30 million, Harris is $20 million. Sure, you could have tried to move Harris a little bit more to make some room, but Barton's at 15. I mean, these guys are getting paid a lot, and how many big-name guys can you have on there? How many big pay guys can you have on your roster? Because eventually, if Porter works out the way you think he's going to, you're going to sign him to big money. You got Murray's contract taken care of. Joker, $21 million is what you're asking, essentially. Just to assume that Grant would have chose you for $1 million extra. I'm not saying the Nuggets didn't do... I'm not trying to like forgive them. There should have been a better plan in place. What would that have been? Getting aggressive for another power forward, reaching out, finding out if Grant was... That's the hard part about this whole thing. That's the hard part about the draft being on Wednesday and free agency starting on a Friday. If Denver knew Grant was gone, don't you think they would have got really aggressive to move up in the draft and get an even better graded power forward? Somebody that might be able to give you instant minutes or maybe halfway through the season? Zeke Nagy is a question mark. Dixon, did Grant actually say those words or is that speculation? No, Grant did not tell me that... What are you saying here, Dixon? Who told you about Grant and where did they get that from? What are you talking about? Who told me about what? That Grant looked around and... Yeah, that's speculation. Grant doesn't want to be the fourth wheel, buddy. This is the NBA. This isn't college basketball. Absolutely, it's speculation, but that's real. I don't have inside sources that told me Jeremy Grant probably didn't want to be the fourth wheel. No question he didn't want to be the fourth. Why the hell would you go to Detroit over Denver for the same amount of money? You answer me that question. Answer the question. Why would you choose Detroit over Denver when Denver has a shot to win a title, or at least we're close? They went to the Western Conference Finals over a 20-46 team. You tell me. I'm waiting. I don't need an inside guy to come and tell me that. He wants to be the guy for Detroit. At least one of the guys. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. He'll be starting, no question. He will be the probable. Okay, right now, if you go to look at Detroit's depth chart, here's what you got. Derrick Rose at point guard, Dellen Wright at shooting guard, Jeremy Grant at small forward, Blake Griffin at power forward, center is Mason Plumlee. That is your projected depth chart. Now, it's going to change with their draft picks being put into the fold there. They did get Sadiq Bey. I like him a lot. But I don't know if he starts right off the bat. They have a lot of guys they have to sort through on that depth chart. But as of right now, ESPN.com has Mason Plumlee as the starting center. So you tell me why Jeremy Grant chose to go to Detroit over Denver. He didn't want to be the fourth. He wanted to be more of a Robin to Batman. You think I'm wrong? Then come up with a better answer. Because you got the same money, you got a prospect to win a title with Denver, certainly more so than Detroit, and yet you went to Detroit. You tell me what you think. 23 minutes after the hour, that's exactly what it is. I'm fired up about this. Don't act like this was Jeremy Grant really loves Detroit this time of year. I mean, come on, that's the only reason. That is the only reason. I don't need inside scoops to be able to give takes on this program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Power to play sports. Did they get better or worse? Or does it all depend on Michael Porter Jr.? 50% of the hooligans say it's all on MPJ. And it does rest on him. He's not the same position, but if he can't play defense, they're all out of sorts. We'll be right back.
Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tonight at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Top text Tuesday. Sorry, I'm getting a little heated there. You guys help me. I'll have Chris Dempsey on the program. Maybe he'll help us make some sense of this thing at 1 o'clock. But it's like this giant hangover for Nuggets Nation, Colfax. I really feel that way today. You know, you expected Jeremy Grant was a sure thing. Should the Nuggets have been prepared for the worst case scenario. Everything that I, and this is from inside information, everything that I had heard was that he, you know, his plan was to stay in Denver if he could make it happen. So, hey, listen, this is why we're going to have our own insider on the program. We'll snuff out everything. So if he wasn't offered, every rumor, everything that I heard was that he was offered essentially the same amount. And it's a, to me, the Nuggets are, they're one of four, five favorites to be a contender for the title next year. I think they're close. I feel like they're closer than Golden State right now. Sir Charles, looks like they need to reach out to Jonah Radabaugh and get some cheap defense. Let's start the Radabaugh movement. You're going to need a defensive specialist. And is Gary Harris still that guy? Is he still a defensive specialist? I mean, yes, but he can't. He's not going to be able to guard, you know, those bigger guys, those LeBron James type guys, those bigger forward type guys. So, yeah, the Nuggets. We're here today, this Tuesday, asking the question: Did the Nuggets get worse over the weekend? Their draft, I thought, was fine for where they were. Should they have gotten more aggressive? Knowing if should they have planned for Jeremy Grant to be gone? Here's the thing: if you get so aggressive and Grant does sign with you, then you lose pieces. You might have holes in other spots, too. Well, County Swami, safe to say Brady is not thankful for terrible texts by Dixon. Listen, it's not that it's a terrible text. It's like, I don't need an inside scoop to say that Jeremy Grant looked around at the lineup in Denver and said, you know what, I'm better off with my personal career going to Detroit, where I can be relied on a little bit more so, get more touches. Because who's getting the touches in Denver? Joker, Murray, now MPJ. They're getting the shots. That's the way it's going. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break here, Colfax. I tell you, though, Red Wing Shoes, Greeley, Johnstown. Write those down, Hooligans. It's all you got to do is walk in the store. You'll find a sled. It's a KFKA sled. Yes. And there you just find the sheet. You fill it out. Write your name and email address, whatever, however we can get a hold of you. Nobody's going to bug you with emails and notes. All you do is fill it in, drop it in that sled. You are entered to win a pair of Red Wing shoes, the value at $250. You get to choose, but the value is at $250 at Red Wing Shoes in Greeley and Johnstown near Shields. So write those locations down as you're out and about, you know, whatever you're doing for Thanksgiving, Christmas shopping, all that stuff. If you're out and about, write those down. You got to register. If you don't want them, they'd make a hell of a gift. Local odds, too. 31 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
36 minutes after the hour. Going to shout out to CRP4x4, CRP4x4.com at CRP4x4 Truck Outfitters. They offer top quality parts and accessories at a location in Greeley, but they service all of Northern Colorado. All right, joining me now, Mark Knutson, who writes his Three Strikes blog for us at 1310kfa.com, contributor for WoodyPage.com. Mark, there's no way Nolan Arenado someday ends up in a Dodgers uniform, right?
If it happens, it better be a situation where he went from the Rockies to someplace else and then ended up with the Dodgers. Because if the Rockies were to trade Nolan Arenado to the Dodgers, I think that's catastrophic for the franchise. I think there'd be, for the first time in 20-some years, there would be a fan revolt.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, things are getting so tough right now. Like, we all can, yeah. we can argue about Drew Locke. Nuggets fans today, or this week, were arguing about Jeremy Grant and how maybe this guy is falling or isn't falling. With the Rockies, it's pretty clear. If Nolan Arenado is not a Rocky and Jeff Breidich is still here, I don't know that many Rockies fans. Can you name one Rockies fan that would come to their defense?
No. I'll come to their defense a little bit. Every team, including the Rockies, lost $100 million this year. That's significant, especially to somebody like the Montforts are not fabulously wealthy people by baseball owner standards. So I get it. I get there's got to be pairing. It's going to happen all around baseball. The Diamondbacks are doing the same thing. It's going to happen, okay? But I don't think Nolan Arenado is going to be a Rocky after the trade deadline for that reason. I don't think he's going to opt out. Opting out would be foolish at this point because he'd be walking away from $35 million during a recession when other teams aren't going to pay him that. The union's not going to be okay with that. His agent's not going to be okay with that. So he's going to get traded. But you trade him to the American League, don't you? You trade him out so he's not coming back to haunt you. You don't trade him to your chief rival. That's the part that just blows my mind, is that's even being considered.
Mark, that's the problem, right? Is we let's go back before pandemic. Yep. Breidich and Nolan having their issues, right? And it's already sounding kind of like, oh, maybe this isn't going to be a happy ending like we all wanted. Then the pandemic happens, all the talk. Breidich won't talk to media about it, doesn't want to get into it. Nolan seems frustrated still. Okay, so that's already strike one. And then you trade him somehow. Okay, strike two, you trade him to a division rival. Strike three, I mean, that would be absolutely awful.
Right, I mean, let's face it, there's only a few teams out there right now that can take on a $35 million contract, the one that's cheap that per year for the next 5 years. The one that jumps to mind for me is the Mets. They have a new owner. He didn't go through any of these losses last year. He didn't get hammered like the other people did. So he's fresh, and he's got a lot of money, Steve Cohen. I can see that move happening. If Nolan can, and Nolan's got veto power over any trade, but if Nolan's convinced that the Mets are going to be a contender, you know, if they go out and get somebody else, you never know. He might be okay with that. Obviously, the Yankees and Dodgers could also pull it off. But you cannot trade Nolan Arenado to your chief rival in the division. You can't. That's suicide. That's basically flipping the bird to your fans. And you can talk about the monetary part and all that. I get that. And I'm sensitive to that. But at the end, I've told you before, I think there's going to be a purge at the end of this year. I don't think Trevor Story's going to be a Rocky in 2022. Charlie Blackman's not going to be a Rocky. And John Gray's not going to be a Rocky. All their contracts end in 2021. And I think there's going to be a purge. My main problem is, I get needing to do that. Other teams have done it. I understand that. But who's going to do the rebuild? The same people that put us in this mess in the first place? That's the issue. I think most of us have lost Jeff Bryant's ability to build a team. The Rockies only give lip service to analytics when other teams like Tampa and Oakland are kicking tail by going out. Small market teams, not big market teams. So I think the Rockies, Bryant has made enough mistakes in free agency, and the player development has been mediocre at best. I don't trust him to do the rebuild. And I think if there is a rebuild and you brought in somebody from Tampa, or you brought in somebody from Oakland, or you brought in somebody with a background in analytics, I think the fans could get on board with that. Because the rebuild really probably wouldn't take all that long.
So, Mark, is it doomed? Is Nolan Arenado's future? Maybe the Rockies at some point, Dick Monfort, he sees the light and realizes he's going to make the choice. We're going to stick with Nolan. We are going to go through the purge. But Nolan's the one guy. Would Nolan consider sticking around if Breidich isn't around?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we saw the exact same scenario you're talking about with Todd Helton, didn't we?
Right.
He was the one Rocky that stuck around. Larry Walker left. Everybody else left. But they kept Todd Helton because he was the cornerstone. It was Todd the Toddlers for a while. So, yeah, there's precedent for them to keep Nolan and say goodbye to Trevor Story and say goodbye to some of these other guys and start over that way. The reason Nolan would do it is strictly if he thought the right people were in charge to rebuild, and, of course, money's going to matter because the pandemic has changed the landscape financially for everybody. There's only a few teams that could take on a trade. He can't go to somebody that, you know, that he might want to go play for. They can't afford it. They just can't. Every team's hurting right now. The Angels already have their expensive third baseman. That's where you'd like to go. So do the Padres. You'd like to go to the West Coast. Well, those aren't, you know, that's not going to happen. So, his choices are limited if he wants to stick with the contract. And trust me, having been a member of the union, they do not want salary reduction. They don't want any player to take a salary cut. So if Nolan opted out, he would be taking a salary cut. And the union's going to fight that. They're not going to want to do that. That's why it's going to be a sign-in trade or a trade as a deadline, something like that. So Nolan keeps his current contract wherever he ends up. And I think it'll be in a different uniform in 2022.
Okay, Mark, so let me do this side of it. Obviously, everyone's coming at it with, we love Nolan. If Nolan's gone, we riot. Can I play the devil's advocate and ask, okay, at the end of the day, what exactly have you won with Nolan, with all the money in, when at the end, if you do break it all down, bottom line is you still got to have someone pitch, Mark. You know that more than anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's the Rocky side of things right there, right? You know, but, again, do you trust Jeff Breidich? If he's going to trade Nolan Arenado to the Dodgers, he better get Walker Buehler and Corey Seager back in return, right? If you do that, then people are going to go, well, okay. But that's not his history. His history, he'll get a bunch of draft picks and free agent and prospects and so on and so forth, and there won't be anything that come close to getting the value of Nolan Arenado. That's the problem. If this was a deal where the Rockies could rebuild their team with four or five ready-to-go prospects, then I think everybody would be on board with that for the reasons you just laid out, that they haven't won anything. They've been to the playoffs twice with Nolan, but the last 2 years have been miserable. And, you know, you've got to, bottom line is it's more about the team than it is about one individual player.
Yeah. No question. Mark, you know what I think is interesting? Here we are talking about the Rockies, and there's no playoffs. There's no how they're going to contend. There's none of that discussion going on. On the Nuggets end, what is the talk today? It's, they didn't do enough to keep up with the Lakers. This is what I want to remind. I'm getting a lot of crap today because I'm trying to say that the sky is not completely falling. The Nuggets fans right now, you are debating what they did or didn't do to keep up with the best team in the NBA.
Right.
And yet, for the Rockies, you're saying, okay, when we purge this thing, who's going? Who's rebuilding this thing? I mean, my goodness, look at the difference in the two franchises right now.
Well, at this moment, yes. I remember, it wasn't very long ago. It was the way
exactly.
around.
Exactly. You're exactly
were trying
right.
to stay with the Dodgers and the Nuggets were trying to rebuild. So, yeah, that's sports. That's how it goes. And I obviously, we'd rather be having talks about how do you stay teams in your division like the Nuggets are dealing with right now, or the Avalanche too, for that matter, than what the Rockies are going through. But I don't know, 2020, we're all focused on the negative, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're all just trying to get if something better comes up the other end.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, it's blowing our mind. We had CSU coach Nico Medved on the show Friday, and then 2 hours later, it's announced that they're going on a halt for 2 weeks. So
I know.
You just never know. Hey, Mark. Yeah. Speaking of Colorado State, I'm reading this article in the Colorado today. This story, you know, about Joe Parker and this athlete group. I mean, they're pretty serious here. They want Joe Parker gone. I think we lost Mark there, but still, we got him long enough to get some interesting takes there. Do we have him still? Is he still there? Is he hanging in? 40%? Is he at 80% listenable? maybe I'm never even at that. Mark, we still have you, man. You were giving us some thoughts on Colorado State. Joe Parker, what's going on there?
Like I said, Miles Bloomhart really supporters. We all know that. Ticket holder. He doesn't sit in the press box with you and me and stay warm. He sits in the crowds when they have crowds at football games. So he's not doing this out of spite. He's not writing these things to try to get at somebody. But there's real issues here. We don't know how serious they are. Obviously, the student group that feels like it really is serious and that Joe Parker's kind of looked the other way during all this. You've got a new president who didn't hire Joe Parker. Kelly probably told you the same thing he's told me, Kelly and Miles. I'll be shocked if Joe survives this school year, if he's the AD going to the next school year.
All right, we'll wrap up there, Mark. Sorry we lost you, man. I do want to comment on that last point. Whether you are in the camp that agrees with Joe Parker or is backing Joe Parker or against Joe Parker, doesn't it get to the point where there's just too much? I mean, what do you think about that, Colfax, where maybe Joe Parker's innocent in this whole thing? Maybe Joe Parker's great at his job, and it's all just a big misunderstanding going way back to the Larry Stacey days, because I do think he was put in between a rock and a hard place on that with President Tony Frank and Larry Stacey, because I think Tony Frank, that was his guy, was you, Stacey, and Parker was in a tough spot. This whole COVID thing, man, I mean, name anybody that's handling it right. Let's just say he's innocent. Do you get to the point as an organization where you're like, there's just too much? There's just too much stuff coming out? Or do you fight the good fight? If you truly believe in this guy, do you fight it? Because it's not going away. Not anytime soon. I mean, the latest story in the Colorado one from Miles Bloomhart is, you know, about this CSU athlete group. And there's two active players, from my knowledge, and then I think the rest are former players. And this isn't just football or basketball. Okay, this is the whole thing. And Joe Parker oversees all of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of COVID-19 protocols, how they're mishandling that, apparently, racial insensitivity and abuse, and most recently, sexual misconduct cases. We talked about that one, right, with the booster club and in the at the stadium and all that. Does it get to the point where it just keeps stacking up, where you do go, where there's smoke, there's fire? I personally know Joe. Not like we don't go out for beers or anything. I'd be open to that, Joe. Give me a call. I've had a great time having him on the program here. But Colfax, that doesn't mean I know the guy personally. I don't know what he's overlooking or underlooking or blowing off and saying, nah, I'm not going to deal with that. There is a part of me, though, that really thinks that most of what Joe's issues are is that perhaps he gets a big issue and maybe hopes it goes away or addresses it a little bit and then hopes it goes away. I can't tell you for sure, though. I really don't know. I just wonder how much more of this as a school are you going to put up with. Dixon says, let Millsap ride off to the sunset. Right off into the sunset. You are so going to be whistling a different tune come January when you see what Grant really meant to the team. And Millsap does this same old move of dribbling the ball between his legs a couple of times and then fumbling out of bounds as he falls down. Dude, I don't think we're that far off here. I know you're the arch nemesis of the show, but I don't think we're that far off. I'm saying it's a terrible move, but I feel like you're putting the blame more on the Nuggets more so than Jeremy Grant. I think Grant got his feelings hurt that Detroit made the first move, offered him 20 mil. Denver matched it. Grant looked around and said, everything that we read up until that day was that Grant's camp was good with Denver and Denver was good with Grant. And maybe the Nuggets wanted to see what he was really worth. Is that a crime? You don't want to overpay. This organization has, Tim Connelly has done it the right way for what, the past 5-6 years, and you're roasting him now. I'm just saying that this isn't as much. I mean, yes, the Nuggets probably should have had a backup plan, but this is so difficult. I don't know how you navigate through this. This is why I'm not in that position. It's also why I hate the fact that the draft is before free agency. Grant goes away. All right, we got to get aggressive, and we have money. Dixon saying, I would have gave $10 million, whatever that is you just gave Millsap, to load up on that one player on Grant. You better be damn sure. I mean, you're talking 30 mil then. I mean, if you were going to give him 20 and you're giving him 30, you're putting him Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray territory now? Boy, that offer is going to be laughed at more than what Michael Jordan did with Gordon Hayward with the Hornets situation. And I don't hate that move as much as everybody else does. Dixon says, why not have offered Grant the extra 10? Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of cheat. So you're saying that, listen, players are fickle beasts, right? And they're going to look at that. You think Joker and Murray, who worked their off to get to that contract that they're at, they're going to look at one season and really one half season by Grant where he really started to step up to that's worth $30 million to you guys? I'm just tossing it around. Those are things you got to think of. Dixon says you have to overpay. Well, in that case, why didn't you overpay for Drew? You should have just overpaid for Drew Holiday then. Give up all your draft picks and away we go. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I'm a little heated about this, and trust me, Dixon, I know I'm sounding like I'm mad at you. The whole situation sucks. The whole thing is not a good deal. And the Nuggets walked away a little bit lesser of a team than they were on Friday, Thursday morning. But there is some light at the end of the tunnel, and I know some of you disagree. MPJ is the future. He's got to live up to that. You're saying he's their third best player. MPJ is who they want to be their third best player. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out The Halls Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
I don't think I'm undervaluing Jeremy Grant. So Dixon, we're trying to figure out a deal here. We're in the front office. You're representing Jeremy Grant, obviously, because you want him to make $30 million a year. I'm representing the Nuggets because I'm not overpaying for a guy that averaged 12 points per game. And it's not like he's like this is his third year. He was in his seventh year. He's 20. He's gonna be 27 in March, I think. So listen, I love the guy. That was the plan. Jeremy Grant, load it up. MPJ, take the next step. And maybe we're a contender. But you're saying, okay, let's go. Would you have done 23 for Millsap and let Millsap walk? Would I have offered $23 million to Jeremy Grant when he's making $20 million for Detroit? I would have, personally, I would have, again, the market was dictating, was saying 16. But apparently Detroit, with the starting center of Mason Plumlee, knows what the hell they're doing. So they offered him 20. So now I got to get at least $1 million over that. So you're saying I'm going to go $5 million a year over what I thought the market dictated for? He went from 9 to 20. When I thought 9 to 16 was a big jump, I would have considered it. Let me give you that. I would have considered it. First Advantage text line 31996. Second hour coming up. Man, we've been going nuggets here. That's okay. That's all right. We've talked a lot of nuggets. We talked a lot of Broncos the last couple of days. What's going on with Colorado State? So much to get to, so little time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.